Welcome in season 2 of Searching for the Slavic Soul. As you've noticed, it's pretty basic, with no video, no fancy music and no fancy editing. And it's all on purpose, because as I will explain later, in season 2 of Searching for the Slavic Soul, we will be getting back to basics. It's been a few years, and to be honest with you, I did not think I will ever record another episode of Searching for the Slavic Soul, because, well, for two reasons. The first reason is that as I was recording the last few episodes of the first season, I started realizing that the English-speaking followers of, actually not followers, but those who identify themselves as following Slavic native faith, because I kid you not, from a perspective of an actual follower of actual Slavic native faith, what you are calling following Slavic native faith is really performing some sort of Gnostic pseudo-Christianity with a Marxist bend and a good measure of other cognitive disorders, which I suspect you have as a result of generously dosing yourself with all sorts of chemicals that I assume you take because someone who you trusted and who betrayed you enormously betrayed you, because this someone told you that in order to be a good person you have to feel, experience, look and behave certain way. And you, like any normal human being, can't feel, experience, look and behave in only one way. So you either concluded, or someone concluded it for you, and you believe this psychopath. But anyway, however it happened, you convinced yourself that there is something wrong with you, and therefore you have to cease being a normal human to instead become some sort of a zombie member of a hive mind. So that's the explanation I came up with a few years ago, and then I started to ask myself if I can be bothered to deal with a horde of Gnostic, pseudo-Christianized, Marxist-leaning, medicated zombies with a hive mind. And then I started to read a book titled Bogowie, committed by one called Troy David Kokoschka, who claims to be a microbiologist and self-taught, I don't know, historian, some sort of a scholar of Slavic studies. It's not quite clear what this individual claims to be, but his book is stupid. Actually, it's not stupid, it's abhorrent, it's vile, it's a subversion of Slavic native faith. It's a bad book, and I strongly do not recommend you to read it. It is so bad, I didn't finish reading it. I don't know, maybe one day I will finish it, but I have not finished it so far, and I have no intention to finish it, because it just hurts me how bad this book is. The core of the awfulness of the book is that, I don't know how to say it, it starts with a preconception that pre-Christian Slavs, our ancestors, their history, their culture, their beliefs, everything they created, that all of it can be criticized and judged and found lacking. I can even find words. It's wrong on so many levels that I just can't even find words. I mean, the core of Slavic native faith is veneration of ancestors. Veneration of ancestors. Let me repeat. Veneration of ancestors is what Slavic native faith is about. You do not criticize your ancestors. Never. Ever. Not ever. If your ancestors did something that did not have the intended consequences and resulted in a bad outcome, you take it as a lesson and with the utmost respect tell your ancestors how grateful you are for being able to learn this lesson from them. You learn everything there is to learn about the circumstances of the event, try to understand everything there is to understand about the events, and then from the bottom of your heart, express deep love and admiration for how your ancestors handled themselves in such difficult time. Express deep gratitude that despite the difficulties, they managed to live long enough to make sure the next generation of your ancestors could come to be, which is the reason why you exist, by the way, and then you share with your ancestors your bread and mead and the warmth of the fire. This is what veneration is. You venerate. You do not criticize. You do not disrespect. You venerate. And most certainly, you do not accuse your ancestors, as the Kokoschka imbecile did, of committing, and I'm quoting here, indefensible actions while trying to survive. What a fucking idiot, this Kokoschka guy. I just can't even. Anyway, the stupid book was a final straw, and I decided I will not waste any more time on the woke morons. Particularly because, and that was the second reason I did not want to continue with searching for the Slavic soul, I realized that while I was focused on bringing up my daughter and sharing with you the amazing culture of pre-Christian Slavs, the woke debility made its way to Poland and started poisoning my homeland. And I decided I will not have that. So I got involved into the fight against the woke in Poland. And that wasn't an easy fight, mostly because in order to know what I'm fighting with, I had to familiarize myself with the postmodern neo-Marxist literature, which is so moronic you have got to be brainwashed to be able to read it without facepalming every 5 to 10 seconds. I did persevere. I kept pushing, and a few years later it paid off with the last presidential elections where the sane candidate won. So, at least for now, the woke madness will not be able to gain much in Poland. Of course, we only won a battle and there is still a whole war to win, so I am absolutely not going to rest on my laurels. But I can slow down a bit now, and since I have more time, I thought I will have another go at making decent pagans out of you brainwashed, Christianized, neo-Marxist, Gnostic lot of zombies. So, what I decided I will do in the second season of Searching for the Slavic Soul is to take you step by step into Slavic native faith, starting with absolute basics that while I was recording the first season of Searching for the Slavic Soul, I assumed you had these basics. So I assumed you had the basics because the basics is the humanity as it was given to us by gods through the blood of our ancestors, the bodies of our parents, and the spindle of Rodzanice. And now, to be clear, because I am talking to a horde of brainwashed zombies, I am not saying you do not have humanity. You do have humanity because you're humans. What you do not have is contact with your humanity. I don't know who did it to you, when and how it was done to you, but you simply don't have it. So while I am taking you step by step to Slavic native faith, I will also, hopefully, take you step by step as close as I can to the place where you forgot that you are humans. You will have to figure out how to enter this place and how to get in touch with the humanity you left there, but that's not really my problem. It's your problem, particularly if you want to follow Slavic native faith, which requires you to be in touch with your body, with your blood, with your family. The family that is here in this world, as well as the family that is there in the afterworld. Slavic native faith also requires you to be in touch with other humans, be it members of your community or some strangers on the street. And by being in touch, I do not mean affirming each other delusions and enabling various mental and behavioral pathologies. By being in touch, I mean building and cultivating deep and meaningful relationships based on trust, honesty, and caring for each other. And again, because you are brainwashed zombies, by caring, I do not mean affirming each other's delusions and enabling various mental and behavioral pathologies. By caring, I mean having the best interest at heart, even if it means potential of causing offense, hurt, or temporary discomfort, which you lot don't seem to be able to handle at all. So, just a fair warning, I will be regularly offending you in the second season of Searching for the Slavic Soul. I will be offending you for two reasons. The first reason is explained in the 22nd episode of the first season of Searching for the Slavic Soul, which I will link in the notes for your convenience, because I might be a mean and foul-mouthed hag, but I do sympathize with anyone who wants to find anything on the bloody YouTube or wherever you listen to this podcast. So I will link the episode up, and for now just quickly explain that an important part of Slavic culture, and it's a part that's been preserved to this day, hence I said Slavic culture, not Slavic pagan culture. So an important part of Slavic culture is a deep belief that praising tends to attract malevolent demons. So if you really care about someone, you not only do not want to praise him or her too much, but as an extra layer of protection, you want to call him or her bad names to make sure that the malevolent demons not only don't come, but will stay away. This is why, for example, pre-Christian Slavic pagans gave their children really bad and offensive names, to make sure that any malevolent demon will see this perpetually bad-mouthed child and will stay away. So, I will be offending you, because in Slavic pagan tradition, offending means caring. That's reason one. Reason two is that you deserve it, and it will be good for you. If you are a mature and reasonable human being, you are fully capable of realizing that the offensive stuff does not apply to you, if it doesn't apply to you, and hence you will just move on, perhaps after appreciating my mean vocabulary. If you, however, are a stress-free, reared, neo-Marxism-infused, pseudo-Christian Gnostic zombie, you will take what I said personally, and I do want you to. I want you to take it as personally as you can and get angry, get fuming, get furious to the point that you will feel that despite all the antidepressants and numbing agent you've been consuming since puberty. And I want you to realize that feeling is better than numbing, because to feel means to be human. To numb is to be an amoeba or a zombie, such as yourself. And maybe one day you might learn how to handle feelings, and who knows, you might even be able to face a day without psychotropic crutches you've been dosing yourself to forget that you have emotions, like every single human being who has ever walked the earth has. So, my dearest, I will be offending you regularly for your own good. Get used to it, or just don't listen. I don't care either way. I don't make any money on this project, and if you want to know why, listen to episode 3 of the first season of Searching for the Slavic Soul. So, that's my long explanation of why I was done with the podcast and why I finally decided I was not done with the podcast. I also want to mention that ultimately I will be moving Vitya project from Squarespace platform to Substack. The reason I will be moving is that I fully expect to be kicked out of Squarespace and likely out of YouTube anytime soon. And since Substack is the only place that does not police speech and has podcast hosting capability, I will be moving there. I will link the Substack address in the notes of this episode, so you can start subscribing there, or not subscribing, I don't care. But I fully expect the Squarespace site to be closed by I'm thinking September, October this year. So that's just a fair heads up. Other than that, let's get on with the first step towards becoming a Slavic pagan, which you will not become anytime soon, but if you start now, you might get there in a couple of years. Because one thing you will have to do to become a Slavic pagan is to start to think like a Slavic pagan, which will require you first to start thinking and then to get rid of the Christianized oblivion you stuck in and actually develop a pagan state of mind. One thing I can tell you is that it's going to be so much fun watching you do it. But back to the first step. First step towards Slavic native faith is to reach out to your ancestors so you can start venerating them. And now, one thing you need to know is that your ancestors are trying to be with you all the time, which you would know if you stop complaining about living in the mind-blowing luxuries your ancestors built for you, but you are so accustomed to living in these luxuries that you can't even see how good you have it. And I want to make it clear, I absolutely 100% mean it. Wherever you are, whatever you do, while listening to what I'm saying right now, I can be 100% sure you are enjoying unbelievable luxuries which are unparalleled to anything known to majority of the whole humanity ever in the whole history of humanity. First of all, you are alive. You have no idea how unusual is that. Through vast majority of the history of the whole humanity, only like 50% born humans made it into adulthood. Only 20 to 30% newborns lived longer than a year, and only 10 to 20% newborns lived longer than 5 years old. If you're listening to me, you are most certainly older than 5 years old. So, congratulations, human. You made it further than majority of the humans who were ever born. Of course, you do not appreciate it, mostly because you are a brainwashed morons, but also, as I strongly suspect, you are far too deep in your delusions of victimhood to see even the most obvious blessings. But you will see the blessings. Don't worry, just keep listening. So, you are alive, lucky you. You are only alive because your ancestors did not give up on themselves and on their children. And in case you watch too many stupid movies, who am I kidding? Of course you watch too many stupid movies, and now you think that life in the olden times was sweet and peaceful until the bad people came over and ruined everything, colonizing the paradise. You might also think that life in the times of the boomers generation was easy and that you are the first one who ever had it hard in this unfair world where there is so much oppression and inequality that there has got to be a whole industry of intersectional training to find this oppression and inequality and to make it all better and fair. Well, you are stupid and brainwashed, so I can't fully blame you for believing in all these idiocies, but you will have to stop believing in it. You are not a victim. You do not have it hard, and your ancestors, whoever they were not oppressors. They were not victims either. They were just normal people living normal life, which is, as we say in Poland, full of zasadzkas, which basically means that it is designed to be hard because it is designed to be lived only by those who dare to live it. And your ancestors dare to live it. And you are walking proof of that. And if you're not walking, you are breathing proof of that. And if you're not breathing, then you are one of the ancestors and I respect you greatly and I am hereby inviting you to next Jade to feast with me, share mead and kowaj with me, and bless me with your wisdom. Your ancestors dared to do many, many things which you most likely have not done or not dared to do. They had sex, for example, of which you are a walking and or breathing proof, they also dared to make friends and relationships. And how can I tell they did, you might ask? I can tell you how I know. I know that because you are alive. And the only way you are alive is if your ancestors lived long enough to make sure their children make it into adulthood. And the only way they lived that long is by having friends and relationships. There is no other way to stay alive long term if you are a human. Or, let me rephrase, until the last decade or two, there was no other way. Although, actually, you still can't really be a human without friends and relationships. Without friends and relationship, as a human, you can only last as a zombified, brain-dead, sad excuse of a human being. And it is so, so, so horrifying that there exist people who are trying to make us believe otherwise. Actually, it's not horrifying, it's abhorrent. Particularly since the people who are trying to make you believe that you can remain fully human without friends and relationships do it only to get more rich than they already are. And let me just stress here, there is nothing wrong with being rich. Every single one of your Slavic pagan ancestors wanted to be rich. But they wanted to be rich to be able to share their wealth with their family, friends and neighbors. While the abhorrently rich people want to get rich for the sake of getting rich. By the way, getting rich for the sake of getting rich in Slavic native faith is a sign of demonic possession. But we are not talking about demons today, mostly because you are so deep into your Christianized oblivion that you are not ready to talk about demons. We are talking about reaching out to your ancestors. So, you are not a victim. You do not have it hard. Anything you have ever experienced and in your stupidity called suffering or distress or unimaginable pain, your ancestors had it worse and many times over worse. Your ancestors, for example, as far as 3 to 4 generations ago, routinely lost children because without plumbing, food hygiene, building codes and other safety regulation, without all the luxuries that you, in your moronic blindness, don't even notice, without all these blessings created by your ancestors, the mortality was so high, particularly in childhood. Your ancestors gave you not only your life, but all the luxuries too. They might not have been the ones to build roads or install plumbing, but they did build the world in which building roads and installing plumbing was possible. Some of them might have grown food which allowed builders and plumbers to sustain themselves. Some of them might have built buildings in which plumbers or builders were trained or housed, or in which the plans for roads or plumbing were drawn. Some of them might have taught future plumbers or builders, be it in primary school or nursery even, and some might have mined or processed or produced materials necessary for building roads or installing plumbing. Your ancestors lived in an interconnected network of humans who helped each other, even if they did not know each other or even if they lived in a completely different country or continent. You live in such network. You might be a parasite on this network, but you still are a part of the network. And everything you and every living human being have is due to the efforts of yours and theirs ancestors. And this is why you need to venerate your ancestors, because you owe them more than you will ever be able to repay. And I don't care if your grandfather or grand-grandfather wasn't a very nice person and did despicable things that I will not mention because I can't be bothered to deal with the ridiculous censorship on this platform. It does not matter how many despicable things your ancestors did. Firstly, and this one you will likely understand since I bet you have the psychobabble therapy speech down to a T, so you know not to judge, right? You do not know what made your ancestors the way they were. You have not walked in their shoes. You do not know what they were going through. So don't judge them. They did their best, and your job as a Slavic pagan is to be grateful and venerate them. So, your homework is to start venerating your ancestors. And this is how I want you to start. First, plan your day in such a way to have a minimum 30 minutes without anyone disturbing you and without having to be in a rush. It does not have to be evening, but ideally you want it to be a Thursday, since we know that Thursdays was the day when pre-Christian Slavic pagans had dinners with their ancestors and protective spirits of the household, which were most likely their ancestors too. We know it from early medieval chronicles, of which I talked about in the 20th episode of the season 1 of Searching for the Slavic Soul. So, you want to plan a minimum 30 minutes, ideally, but not necessarily, on a Thursday. You want to make sure you are not in a rush and that you are not disturbed. That will be your time to venerate your ancestors. Then, plan a meal. You want it to be simple, but good quality meal. You do not want a lot of processed food. If possible, try to make everything from fresh, or as much as you can from fresh. If you know one or more of your ancestors' food preferences, go for what they liked. You also want some good quality drink. Ideally, it should be mead, but beer will do too. It does not have to be alcoholic, but preferably it should be, because fermented drinks is what ancestors prefer. If you don't drink alcohol, go for milk or some sort of honey sweetened tea. It really should not be just water, and it 100% can be a fizzy drink. Unless, of course, you know for sure one of your ancestors liked a particular fizzy drink. But still, it's best if you have alcohol-based drink or milk or honey-sweetened drink for the other ancestors that you might not know about. Then you will have to hide all the sharp items. All the knives, needles, scissors, everything has to be hidden, because you do not want your ancestors to hurt themselves. You will be having a meal, so if your meal needs to be cut, you cut it first, then you put away the knife. You also put away the forks, because they are sharp. You will be eating either with your hands or with a spoon. If possible, set up table with extra seats. But if you do not have a table, make sure there is space around to sit and that food is placed on a plate or plates to share. Then you need to take a shower in order to wash off yourself all the regular stuff and make sure your ancestors feel respected by you being refreshed when they come to visit you. After you shower, you need to dress in clean clothes, because you are going to have an important dinner and you need to be presentable. When you washing yourself and getting dressed, try to think about your ancestors. There is no special spells or rituals to let them know you are inviting them. They are around the whole time. They are seeking you out. You just need to welcome them to come. And then, once you are refreshed and dressed, sit down for the meal and invite your ancestors to join you. Talk to them. Tell them how grateful you are that they gave you your amazing body that is alive and serves you as well as it can. Ask them how are they doing. Tell them what's up with you. If it's the first time ever you spoke to them, apologize for not inviting them for a dinner before. Tell them you were ungrateful and stupid, but you will not be anymore, because now you know how much you owe them. Tell them how the other members of the family are doing. Remember, they are the sons and daughters or sisters and brothers or wives or grandchildren. Start building a relationship with your ancestors, making sure you are being respectful and everything you do is venerating them. If you know for sure your ancestors did something that seems dreadful to you, Either don't talk about it, or do your fucking best to be as understanding, as non-judgmental as your stupid therapy culture taught you to be. If you know they did something that had a bad outcome, tell them how grateful you are for them being so brave and taking such risk, so now you can learn on their mistakes instead of making one yourself. Thank them for the lesson and admire their strength. Venerate them because you owe them everything. They might talk to you or then might not. They might need to think about it. They might get back to you later in your dreams or in some thought that will randomly pop in your head. But they will get back to you and do their best to help you out, to protect you and guide you on your path. All you need to do is to keep talking to them and keep the relationship going. If possible, try to have a dinner with your ancestors at least once a week. If you're going through some difficult time, which given how spoiled you are, is literally every day and is just killing you, get some extra dinners in. And remember, these dinners are not for you to moan and complain, but for your ancestors to be venerated and respectfully asked for help and advice. And they will give you help and advice. You just need to make space for them to come. And that is all I want you to do until the next episode. We are taking first steps. So there will not be any gods, prayers, rituals, fires, żercas, or anything else. We are starting with the basic one-to-one ancestral veneration. That's it. Do not do anything else. I will try my best to get out one episode a month, but I cannot promise that. Remember to follow the link to a Substack so you don't miss the episodes when I close the Squarespace site or when they kick me off the YouTube. Focus on venerating ancestors and who knows, we might even make a pagan out of you. And for now, see you in the next episode. Sława!